to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go.
McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky ends 3-0. Los Angeles, Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Stanley Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
My name is Mike Miller. Jim Cushman back at the studios. Doubleheader, face-off, the hockey show. Coming up tonight at 6:05. Coming to you from the Loft Restaurant. Again, glad to have you on board. Got a good show set up tonight. You know what? I'm playing hurt tonight. I've never had one before, but hats off to the great folks that do dental work. Had a root canal this morning at 11:30. Not bad. Might be chewing on my tongue right now as we speak. Face is still a little bit numb. There might be some mispronunciations there. I do that anyways a lot of times without root canal minor surgery today. So, you know, it's odd. Anybody that's had a toothache, they know how miserable it is. I get mine on the Friday night before Christmas. And then, of course, there's no dentist open. So Friday, toothache, Saturday, toothache, Sunday, toothache, Christmas, toothache. Going and get my an appointment with my dentist first thing on Tuesday. Dr. Marston up at Bedford Dental, he goes in there, relieves the pain, says that's the good news. You should feel a little bit better, but you need a root canal. First time I could get in to see anybody was today. Hats off to the group that did it. And again, Mike Miller performing right now with half my head numb. So hang in there with me, everybody. Dave Briggs will join us at 5:15 tonight. Want to talk about, you know, a lot of things. The national championship game at Alabama. Win over Georgia. Dave likes these type of stories. I'm wondering about the Harbaugh hype and, of course, the all the hype that won with the University of Michigan and where they're at. And they're 7-1, the Big Ten, in the bowl games. Michigan gets destroyed with a horrible second half against South Carolina. Rockets win last night. Bowling Green wins on the hardwood last night, both those programs. Dave wrote a good story today talking about the Rockets turning into a threat. Good news over on Bancroft there. Maybe we'll talk some Browns as well. Matt Patricia, Mike Vrabel, a lot of reports now, including Peter King, that says, you know what, he's not so sure Patricia's coming to the Lions. We'll touch on that as well. University of Toledo, Appalachian State. I want to touch on that bowl game. Haven't talked to Dave in a while. He writes on all those subjects. Of course, the Rockets were blown out in that game. Dave did come out with a story on University of Central Florida and why the University of Toledo's football program, who knows, eventually might rival something like that. I know in the past he's compared the University of Toledo should be, and so did former coach Matt Campbell, maybe be a Boise State. Boxing as well. Sonny Fredrickson, Luke Easter Jr., local news today. Talk a little bit about their careers as well. So Dave Briggs coming up at 5:15. 5:35 tonight, Matt Markey will join us. Murray Howe on Face Off the Hockey Show will join us at 6:15. Of course, the book, Nine Things I Learned from My Father. The nine, of course, a takeoff on Gordie Howe's number nine number. A book update, how they're selling, how it's been received. I spent a lot of time in Canada, and from what I understand, that book is selling like, I'll use an old-time term, hotcakes in Canada as we speak. The Walleye back in action on the weekend. Home games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Shane Birschbach will join us. He is a Toledo Walleye forward. You know, Walleye got shut out two consecutive games. Then they come back with a shutout win of their own. We'll check in with him and see exactly where the Walleye stand here entering the weekend. I know they dropped a third in the conference, still first in the division, by the way. So, again, the Walleye, also Murray Howe, Talking Hockey, Face Off the Hockey Show at 6:05. Briggs and Markey, 5:15 and 5:35. Back at the studios, I know Jim Cushland standing by. Jim, anything special coming up tonight on the ticket?
Yeah, we got a couple of basketball games of note. First, on the NBA side of things, of course, our friends here at ESPN Radio, Oklahoma City at Minnesota, 7:30, the coverage time. That's here on the ticket. Fascinating college game, courtesy of our friends at Westwood One over on Talk Radio 100.7. Regional team, 10th-ranked Xavier, they're on the road at number one Villanova, 7:45, the coverage time of that. That's over on 100.7.
Well, you talk about a game like that, you kind of go back to that Butler game as well. Butler, of course, upsetting Villanova. Then, of course, everybody knows about the upset Ohio State upsetting Michigan State. So the number ones have fallen a couple of times this year in the college basketball. Good game last night up at Chrysler. You know, I get a kick out of this. And, I mean, when you do a show like this, you look at the lines out of Las Vegas because you want to see if there's any, you know, big games out there or any routes being predicted, what Vegas sees as a good matchup. How about that game last night? 1.5 point favorite, Purdue. They win by one. So anybody that took Michigan to the 1.5, they won by 0.5 point. Amazing how close these guys are that predict games and the spreads and who is going to win and by how much. But again, Briggs, Markey, Murray Howe, and also coming up, Shane Birschbach forward for the Toledo Walleye. Right around the corner at 5:15. Briggs coming up. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. By the way, I'm holding on to two Toledo Walleye tickets for Saturday's game against Kansas City. I'm going to do something later in the show. A caller has an opportunity to win those tickets. As I mentioned, the Walleye are home on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm holding two, courtesy of the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, for Saturday's game. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller from Tam & Shanter Loft Restaurant, back with Dave Briggs after these words.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Book doing great things in Canada, number three right now, the bestsellers list. Had him out about a month ago. I want to get his take on the book and the book signings and how he was received. I can't believe anything less than absolutely phenomenal. Shane Birschbach, then, of the Toledo Walleye, will join us at 6:35 tonight. Face Off the Hockey Show now in its 18th year. Got two Walleye tickets to give away. I'm going to come up with a question here. You know, these trivia questions on the radio years ago used to be pretty good because nobody could just pound it into their phone within 2 seconds and get the answer. People had to think a little bit. But now it's, I guess, the quickest guy in their phone wins these type of things. All right, everybody, Dave Briggs joins us, Toledo Blade fine columnist. Haven't talked to Dave in a while. Hello, David, how are you?
Doing great, Mike, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for coming on, pal. It's appreciated. Hey, read your story today, and the headlines, I know you don't write those, but the gist of the story, just about the same. University of Toledo Rockets, big win last night. Western Michigan University, Falcons won, by the way, as well. But I liked your take. I liked the story, and let's hope for basketball fans of this era. Listen, I'm old enough to remember when things were pretty wild over there on Bancroft, and it'd be nice to see these guys really make a nice run here after the first of the year.
No, absolutely, and I think the jury's still out on this team, but it was a great, you know, pretty one-sided win over the league favorite in Western Michigan last night. You know, I don't care if it's on your home floor. I mean, it's pretty impressive the way they took it to them, and it'll be interesting to see how this develops this year. You know, Todd Kowalczyk did a great job of building this program back from the depths of the Gene Cross era and had them, you know, probably the best team in the MAC a few years ago. It's kind of stagnated a little bit the last couple of years. I think they're 27 and 26 in MAC play the last 3 years. And this is a really big, you know, kind of barometer year to maybe show us which direction the program is going. And Trayshawn Fletcher is a really interesting piece, a one-year senior transfer from Colorado. And he, you know, if you're doing it right, if you've built a program the right way, he should be the kind of star who puts a, you know, an ordinary team over the top and maybe makes them a MAC contender. And so we're still waiting to see if that's the case. But, you know, the first couple games in MAC play, or, well, at least last night, certainly looks like a lot of promise on this team.
Anybody there last night, Dave? I didn't see an attendance figure.
No, I think they announced a crowd of about 3,500. That was very generous. It was, you know what? I mean, it was pretty empty, you know, just to be completely blunt about it. You know, the students are still out. That'll be, you know, a few hundred, 300, 400, 500 kids in the end zone. But I think the community and the crowd is still kind of taking a wait and see approach with this team. You know, it's a fantastic venue. If they could ever get it rolling and be a consistent, you know, mid-major contender, I really do think this, you know, maybe people are just waiting to see it, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right on both takes there. You know, I saw a story, now correct me if I'm wrong, I was on a long road trip from Canada. I fired the hard copy of the Toledo Blade in my pack and my briefcase and this and that, and read some stories, but it's been a while. University of Central Florida, and you made some points here about schools that size and how competitive they can be. I remember Matt Campbell, Dave, not long ago saying, hey, University of Toledo should be a Boise State, and you see a University of Central Florida, not only football, but basketball as well. I mean, I guess fans in this area, Northwest Ohio, which you cover a ton of, besides the Cleveland area and other national things, you know, that's kind of what, not just Toledo, but I think Toledo's different because it's not, it's a college town, but it's a metropolitan area as well. And, you know, lo and behold, if these guys, they've done a lot of great things, if they can just take this up another level. I know it was a drop-off against Appalachian State, but you feel like you're on the cusp of something happening here, or is it just me being optimistic?
No, and I think it's, you know, we have heard kind of the Boise State comparison over the years. That's certainly a little optimistic. That maybe, you know, that's truly as good as it gets for a team from outside the power conferences. But, you know, Toledo certainly has a lot of things going for it, a lot of built-in advantages. You know, it is in the biggest college sports market in the MAC, and actually Toledo is, as a city proper, is bigger than Buffalo. Buffalo has a bigger, you know, metro area, obviously, but I would consider that a pro sports market. You know, Toledo is pretty clearly a college sports market. You know, Toledo can be the biggest thing in town if it's rolling. You know, obviously, you'll still play second fiddle to Ohio State and Michigan, but they're, you know, the big thing that we can call our own. You know, they have unsurpassed facilities in the MAC, unsurpassed financial resources. And, you know, you just saw that with Jason Candle as well. He's one of the highest, you know, paid coaches in the country from outside the power conferences. So they're stepping up. They're making a financial commitment. I don't know if you could ever get to the level of Boise State as a consistent power like that. But, you know, I guess, I mean, if the stars did align correctly, I suppose you could have a year like Western Michigan had last year. And to a lesser extent, you know, UCF had this year. UCF's obviously had a great season. I do think you could be that top team from the Group of Five conferences representing, you know, playing in a New Year's Six Bowl. So, you know, I think Toledo's in a pretty good place right now. You know, consistently be at the top of the MAC and maybe striving for a little more.
No, striving for more. I think everyone goes about saying that. Being master of the obvious here, that's what you're looking for, but it's an interesting thing to follow, no doubt about that. Hey, Dave, besides us, Dave Brigg joins us here, columnist Toledo Blade. Besides being a great football game, Alabama beating Georgia 26-23, I always feel bad for place kickers that turn a kick into one of my golf shots, a hook from right to left. But besides, you know, the game being intriguing and Alabama winning their fifth national championship under Saban, his sixth overall, what else did you take out of the game besides great game and Alabama wins? Anything else you saw?
No, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, after a dull first half, certainly delivered in the second there after they made the change to the freshman quarterback. The biggest takeaway I took was that, you know, Alabama was a lot of the stars of that game were freshmen. So, I mean, that's pretty scary for the rest of the country. You know, the quarterback was a freshman. The receiver who caught the winning pass was a true freshman. I think six or seven true freshmen, big-time contributors in that game. So just kind of speaks to the machine continuing to roll. And I think that, I mean, it's probably stating the obvious here, but that confirms, you know, Nick Saban's place as the greatest college football coach of all time. You know, a couple others in the conversation, the big name obviously would be Bear Bryant, but for as great as he was, you know, he did it in an era where there are no scholarship restrictions, handing out about 60 scholarships a year, and then just kind of running it like a pro team, just keeping only the top guys and cutting the rest. But and Saban's doing it in an era that's, you know, more cutthroat and competitive than ever, and you know, you look at the teams like Ohio State and Alabama. Those are the two teams that recruit at a level unlike anyone else in the country, at a similar level. And Alabama, with pretty much the same ingredients as Ohio State, just has that consistency at a little different level. So it's truly impressive what Saban's able to do every single year with a new class of 18 to 21 year old kids. So I, if there was any doubt, you know, he's the best ever.
Yeah, and listen, as everybody knows, started his college coaching career right here at the aforementioned University of Toledo. Hey, I read Peter King's story today, and all of a sudden, Matt Patricia, of course, defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, who was at the top of the Detroit Lions wish list. Now, all of a sudden, the New York Giants, who only won three games last year, by the way, they have entered into the fray a little bit. And Mike Vrabel, speaking to the Ohio State Buckeyes, his name surfacing a little bit for the Detroit Lions. Number one, touch on that. And Jim Caldwell, I know you covered some Lions games, and I know he wasn't a favorite of the media for all the people I talked to because of, you know, not a lot there to write about at times because of the way he answered a lot of questions. But any take on the Lions coaching search, and are we going to see anybody besides Patricia in Detroit?
Yeah, no, that's an interesting question. I saw that report as well. Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, certainly looked like the front runner there. But, you know, I don't know. You know, Vrabel's been in for an interview. I think they interviewed their defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin. So yeah, I don't know. The only thing it kind of seems from the trend of their interview is they're going to go the opposite direction of Caldwell and go with a defensive mind. That's kind of always the trend, kind of go with the opposite guy. So maybe, I guess Vrabel certainly would be that. You kind of have a quiet, mild mannered, good guy and Jim Caldwell and Vrabel's, on the offensive side of the ball, and Vrabel's kind of a madman defensive, guy. So that'll be interesting. But no, I think just a big takeaway from the Caldwell stuff, you know, very good guy. Players deeply respected him. Solid coach. But, you know, I think it was important for the organization to send the message that, you know, good is not good enough right now. You know, we've kind of topped out. We've kind of stagnated a little bit. We've got one of the best quarterback, probably the best quarterback in franchise history, locked up for 5 years. A few interesting pieces around him. You know, we need to exploit this. And, you know, we can't leave anything to chance. So good for them for making a move that not everybody would.
Well, you know what? I compared two games this year, one of the college ranks. And listen, I'm an Ohio State guy. I say this all the time. Don't root for a lot of teams. It's only three. People hear it every day. I try to be objective on this show, but I tell people I'm a Tigers fan, I'm a Lions fan, and an Ohio State Buckeyes fan. Well, Ohio State, and I don't know what you wrote in this. I don't know what your take was. But when Ohio State, after the big win in Penn State, went into Iowa and got blasted, listen, I could see the handwriting on the wall. And when Jim Caldwell, if I'm the general manager or the president of the team, which I am not, go down to Cincinnati and play like that in a must-win situation, handwriting's on the wall. You can't have performances like that, and I think with Caldwell as well. Seemed to beat all the teams, Dave, you should know that he should beat. But any team that was a playoff contender, they struggled against. Hey, a couple of quick ones here. Got about just a couple of moments. Been a while as we haven't talked to Dave Briggs. So I want to get his take on a couple of things. The Browns, new general manager, same coach. We've read and talked about that before. Anything there that you see you could share with us?
No, but it seems like, you know, John Dorsey, the new general manager, is a very respected football guy in this league, and he's getting some of the top personnel men from around the league as his assistants. Added another one today. So, you know, I've seen some national writers say the Browns, you know, as of now, probably have one of the top three or four front offices in all of football, which is interesting. And I do think they see an opportunity here to really leave their mark. This is a team with more than $100 million in cap space. You know, they have just a ton of picks in this year's draft. Obviously, the number one and number four overall picks. A lot of picks in next year's draft as well. So it's a great opportunity for a new and hopefully competent regime to really put something together, and you know, just the way it is, a blank slate and just all these resources, it would be, you know, if they're not a playoff team in 3 years, something went badly wrong. I mean, that's how well they are set up. And I know, I mean, when you talk about the Browns, you're expecting it to go wrong, especially with owner Jimmy Haslam. But for as down as we all are on the team right now, and it's obviously, it can only get better, but it should get a lot better.
Yeah, it really should. I hope they don't bring in somebody's pitching coach or a guy to hit fun balls to somebody and put him in the front office. Hey, the final thing I had jotted down here today, Harbaugh and all the hype that he came in. Now, Shea Patterson, of course, a lot of hype there. Big Ten goes 7-1 in the bowls, the only loss to Michigan. And, you know, I was trying to today figure out, you know, if Jim Harbaugh is not Jim Harbaugh in another situation making $9 million a year, would he be feeling more heat than he's feeling at Michigan? In my mind, much deserved heat should be coming his way. To me, this has been, listen, I know we're in Michigan territory here, and I think there's a little bit of a pass because he's a quote-unquote Michigan man, but I still don't get it up there. I mean, a lot of hype, but not a lot going on.
No, absolutely, and the criticism this year is absolutely fair. You know, we all knew it was a rebuilding year, but just the complete, you know, just the complete garbage that we saw on offense all year certainly has to go back on Harbaugh, and his inability to develop a quarterback really reflects poorly on him. You know, you saw it again with the Alabama and Georgia, both freshman quarterbacks. So that takes away Harbaugh's excuse for, well, I got a few years to get my guys up and running. I need to kind of develop my own quarterback. So that's not an excuse anymore. You know, year four, you know, it's time to start winning. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat. He isn't, especially since it is Michigan. But, you know, it's absolutely time to put up or shut up. I mean, it's making $7 million a year and two third place finishes and a fourth place finish. This will be a really interesting year. And I think Shea Patterson's the real deal, the transfer from Ole Miss who grew up in Toledo. And I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the country. The question is, will it be enough? And it's absolutely loaded Big Ten East. I think you could have four teams that start in the top 10, in one division with Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. So, you know, Michigan could be one of the best teams in the country next year and still finish fourth place in the Big East. So it'll be really interesting. Obviously, the heat is on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, listen, Briggsy, good hearing your voice. What are you working on now? What will we be reading this week? Give us a little preview.
Well, I'm kind of looking at my way too early top 25 for college football 2018, and then just working on a few longer-term projects. But it should, never too early to look ahead.
Good stuff. Thanks a lot, Dave, for coming on. Good hearing your voice. Appreciate it.
Take care. Thanks, Mike.
Dave Briggs, columnist, Toledo Blade. This is Drive Time. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. A couple of notes. Enter to win. Listen, if you want two pit passes to the ARCA Lucas Oil 200 at the Daytona International Speedway, visit the Low Payment King's Facebook page, Monroe Dodge, Monroe Superstore, by the way. Like, if you're going down to the Daytona 500, you know, why not start things off at the Lucas Oil 200? Of course, ARCA right out of Temperance, Michigan there. That race is on February the 10th. Visit the Facebook page, again, to enter to win two pit passes to the ARCA Lucas Oil 200 at the Daytona International Speedway. One of those things that might be, you know, worth even going down to Daytona just to see the track if you've never been down there. And, of course, if you have seen it, a couple of pit passes is always a different take as well. Another thing here with Murray Howe coming up on the show at 6:15 tonight and Face-Off, the hockey show. I'm holding two Toledo Walleye tickets, a Walleye taking on Kansas City on Saturday. The name Howe. How about this? Production line Detroit Red Wings, one of the great lines in the history of the National Hockey League. Of course, Gordie Howe was on the right wing. Who were his two line mates? They called it the production line. Fourth caller, by the way. I got two tickets to the Walleye game on Saturday. TASS Electronics update, a little weather, a little sports update. Traffic is always brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. My name's Mike Miller. Here's the update with Kush.
Sports. It's drive time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Dave Briggs joined us, Toledo Blade columnist, just a couple of moments ago. Talked about, well, Alabama's win over Georgia and Nick Saban and Harbaugh, of course, the hype with the University of Michigan, the Browns, and bringing in new staff members, hopefully not guys with a lot of baseball experience. Detroit Lions coaching vacancy. University of Toledo sports. Haven't talked to Dave in quite a while. Enjoyed having him on. Touched a lot of things here tonight on Drive Time. Again, I'm holding two tickets to the Walleye game Saturday night. Walleye are home on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The phone number is this, 1-866-240-1065. Because I'm going to have Murray Howe on, Gordy's son, Dr. Murray Howe, at about 6:15 tonight at Face Off the Hockey Show, I want to know what famous line, I'll give you the name of the line, the production line. Gordie Howe played on the production line. A lot of people considered it one of the great lines in the history of the National Hockey League. Who were his other two line mates? First caller to give me the names of those other two players besides Gordie Howe, give me a call at 1-866-240-1065, and there'll be two tickets waiting for you at the Monroe Superstore. Good tickets, by the way, Toledo and the Kansas City Mavericks on Saturday night. Joining us now, Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, as always, for taking the time. Hey, listen, I don't want to be that guy that's going to try to one-up everybody, but I read your story here, of course, on the weather and the drastic change in the weather. And I was up north near Ottawa, by the way, and talked to my wife. She goes, yeah, it's 2 below here. And I said, you know what, that's nothing. We're looking at about 14 below Fahrenheit right now, and the wind's blowing. So, boy, did we get, not only we, but all of the North American continent really got a big blast of cold air, and it happened in a hurry, I guess, was the gist of your story.
It did. Usually we kind of ride the yo-yo a little bit to get winter started. It'll be real cold, and then it'll warm up, and we have a freeze-thaw cycle that goes back and forth. This year, you know, we were in the 50s in early December, still in the 40s, shortly before Christmas. And then right around Christmas, things changed dramatically. And we went from, 5% ice coverage on the lake, which was essentially some of the marinas and the bays, the protected areas. And within 2 weeks' time, we were up around, 80% coverage. I mean, that cold air came in. And it just sat on us. We never got above 20 for a number of days. We had a number of nights below zero. We had those single-digit days. That's really the ice machine. You know, that's the ice-making weather. And because Lake Erie, especially the western end, is so shallow, that kind of cold air is able to just suck any heat out of that water in a hurry. And all of a sudden, once you get the ice to form, that cold air sits on top. And it just builds and builds and builds, from below. So we went from really no ice to, over the weekend, 12 inches of ice between South Bass Island and Rattlesnake, and a lot of ice around Catawba and different places along the shoreline, pretty much ice as far as you can see. Now, there's a few open spots where shipping has been maintained, but a lot of ice on Lake Erie, and this is really kind of an early start to the ice fishing season.
You know, I had a, one of our stations, I guess I can mention it because our signal is so strong. It's another Cumulus station, WJR, when I was traveling some distance from here. But they were also talking about in some of the, you mentioned shallow water, that a lot of this ice froze so fast. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's safe because there still are some areas, regardless for what reason. You mentioned deeper portions of Lake Erie, and I guess there's other, circumstances there. Well, just because it was that cold, it's not necessarily safe yet.
No, it's not. What you normally need to see to walk on is about 4 or 5 inches of ice, but it's always a variable. You know, nobody who's wise ever says, you know, that's safe ice, because there's current, you know, especially on Lake Erie, we have very strong currents that will erode the ice from below, and there's other factors involved. If you have open water somewhere 10 miles away and the wind is working on that open water and throwing waves along, those waves can actually roll under a sheet of ice, find a weak spot, create a crack, and then you have a large section break off. And we've had sections on Lake Erie that were, you know, many acres or several square miles large that have broken off and basically been a floating island. So the way the ice forms, we do get better, you know, clear, stronger ice with those long, sustained periods of cold weather. But it's not necessarily safe ice everywhere, especially in rivers or places where you have underground springs or you have current. You're going to have weakening of that ice from below. So it's, you know, proceed with caution is always the way to go, and never go out alone, and always let someone know what the plan is, where you're going, when you plan to be back, and so on. It's just, you know, we up the ante on the safety factor considerably, because Mike, you can make a mistake on Lake Erie in July and you get wet, or you're just uncomfortable. If you make a big mistake out there in January, it can cost you your life.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, Matt Markey joins us here, of course, on Drive Time. We're coming to you from Savannah, Tam O'Shanter tonight. His appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Net Crab Fishing Tackle. Fishing is their passion. Expert advice, always free. Visit them today over on Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee, or visit jansnetcraft.com. You know, I like your experts, too, and, you know, Ann Kleitz, of course, and also Gio Wang. Those folks, again, physical scientists with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory at the University of Michigan. You get to talk to some pretty smart people, don't you?
I get to, and then I just try to figure out what they're saying. You know, when I talked to Dr. Wang, it was a lot of things about, you know, quotients and factors of 12 and heat transfer and so on. And, you know, you need to break it down so the average folk can understand it. And I'm always fascinated by the number of experts we have in this area on so many different topics. And I feel like each time I talk to them, I might get a tad bit smarter myself, but I appreciate their expertise, and I really let them know I appreciate them taking the time to explain it, because we can say something in the story about the ice on Lake Erie, but I think it's a whole lot more beneficial, Mike, if we explain the phenomenon, explain what took place and why, and that's what I hope to do in that story that was on the front page yesterday.
No, I thought it was a great story, and you're right, and you got to put it in layman's terms, so guys like me understand what you're writing about. I understood this a long time ago. My parents owned a restaurant and a tavern, and hardworking people every day of their lives. And this is back before everything was so toxic when it comes to politics and, you know, religion and everything else. And I remember my dad saying, who had some pretty strong beliefs himself, he says, Mike, we're trying to sell beer here, and we're trying to sell sandwiches. We're trying to be good hosts. Try to stay away, you know, from religion and politics if you can. And this is 30 years ago when it wasn't this toxic. I'm sure you get the same thing on your other story here, Too Many Deer. And you and I have talked about this before, Matt. But you kind of laid out the numbers here of how many deer can survive and survive healthy, not only now, but down the road, you know, in a square mile of land, and how many are out there now. I mean, it just makes sense. Smart scientific management is what you wrote about. And again, speaking of experts, I think they got it right, and hats off to you for explaining again to a lot of people that have strong feelings over these deer calls.
Yeah, it's a sensitive issue, and I'm certainly aware of that, and I respect people's opinions and all, but, you know, like your father, my dad was a pretty wise guy, and he said you could complain about something, but you couldn't open your mouth unless you had a remedy or a solution. And so with this problem, I'm always open to listening to people who oppose the call or oppose hunting or removal of deer, but I need to hear from them a practical, realistic alternative or solution. And when it comes to the deer in the metro parks, I just haven't found one. I mean, more deer is not a solution, because it's clear what happens when we have, you know, way too much of a good thing. So, you know, I'm going to take a run at it on Sunday, this coming Sunday, and let the people who are opposed have their day in court and state their case and all. But I think I tend to go back to the science, no matter how unpleasant it is. And the science in this one, to me at least, seems pretty conclusive.
Again, talking to Matt Markey, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. His appearance brought to you by Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle over on Briarfield. Well, I loved your other story there, too, on Jim Beers. I thought the last paragraph was great, too. Good work there. Yeah, she did mention that we went from winning $80,000 with one fish to getting a $1,000 taxidermy bill for the other fish, she said, talking to his wife, telling him the story. But the worst thing is she has to listen to me telling this same story for the rest of my life, which is a great story and well documented, and a little bit of heartbreak there. 28 pounder, but a lake trout and not a walleye. Headlines were great. Your story were great. The walleye fall brawl tournament, and I'm sure an excited guy thought he was going to put a little cash in his pocket. Didn't quite work out that way.
No, it didn't, but he was an awfully good sport about it. And, I mean, the fact that he was a guy who lived and worked here in the Toledo area and has a lot of friends here. We got a lot of, you know, feedback from his friends and everybody giving him a hard time but congratulating him at the same time. But it's one of those things, Mike. When you put your line in the water, you have no idea what's going to come on the other end of it. And his hopes with, you know, fishing with his brother were that they were going to catch that winning, you know, fish in that walleye tournament. It would have been worth about $80,000, and they thought they had it, and then when they realized they didn't, they were down, and then when they realized maybe they had a state record fish, they were back up. And ultimately, you know, he wins, but the money exchange there was the thing that his wife lamented. But any woman who's married to a hunter or a fisherman certainly knows that feeling, that, you know, it's a sport that involves a little bit of expense, and when you get a trophy, whether it's a deer or a fish, whatever, you know, the taxidermy bill can be fairly stout, but the stories never end. And I think, you know, he'll be telling that story to his grandkids and beyond.
No doubt about it. I'll be telling it for the next week or so. Hey, let me ask you this out of curiosity. Is a prize in a tournament like that, are those prizes, do you pay state and federal income tax on those?
You have to pay tax on it. Yes, you do. And
why am I surprised?
You know, I'm sure you're not surprised. Now, that would have been a $70,000 boat, and then there were a number of other cash prizes for, you know, the largest fish in certain areas and other incentives and so on. Depending on what lure you caught it on, certain companies were going to throw some cash in there. So he stood to make about $80,000 if that had been a walleye.
Good stuff. Hey, listen, Matt, thanks for coming on. We'll talk next week. Appreciate it as always, and enjoyed it, and all the best.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Matt Markey, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. This is Drive Time. Got a winner, by the way, the two walleye tickets for Saturday night. Great tickets. Congratulations to Vincent Walensky. Way to go. Those tickets, by the way, Vincent, will be up at the Superstore at the reception counter. So listen, it's right up Dixie Highway out of Toledo, you know, from the Alexis Telegraph area. You know, you're probably only about, I would say, I drive it every day from Toledo. 10-12 minutes. So two great tickets, by the way, Saturday's game against Kansas City. Back to close it out after this timeout. Drive Time is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik.